Thank you so much, Lord, that you make it plain what you want from us, that we don't have to guess or try and figure it out, but you make it plain, Lord. So thank you for the challenge this morning, Lord, to live right, righteousness and faithfulness and holiness. Thank you, Lord. Some might say those are bad words in our culture today, but thank you, Lord. That's what you require of us. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way. As we try our best, Lord, to navigate through a fallen, dark, dying, decaying world, give us the light of your word, Lord, so we can have a victorious life. That we just won't exist, but we will have a victorious life in you. We're tired of existing. We're tired of business as usual, Lord. We want to have life and that more abundantly that you promised us, Lord. So we thank you for your word, which teaches us. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, which teaches and leads and guides us. Speak to us now, Lord, as you've prepared our hearts and our minds to hear from you. And we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We started here last week and we'll pick it up this week. 1 John 2 and 15. And I'll read verses, I'll read 15 through 20. Amen? It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Underline, do it the will of God. So God doesn't just want us to be hearers. He wants us to be doers of his will and his word. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time or it's the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last hour. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be manifest that they were not at all of us. Verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Wow. Somebody say amen. Amen. So here we are. We've been talking about the love of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. And it's led us to where we are this morning. And so here we are as we look back on our week. You had two things you had to deal with. You had to deal with God. You had to deal with the world. The world. I looked up the definition again, and we know it's an orderly system of deception. That's what the word world means in the Greek. But it also means the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., which, although hollow and frail and fleeting, they stir desire, seduce from God, and are obstacles to the cause of Christ, also known as the smokescreen, the orderly system of deception. Seduce is synonymous with deception. If someone's trying to seduce you, they're trying to deceive you so they can get what they want. Yes. Yeah. Nobody's been there. Amen. Sure. Oh, you've been on the other side. You've been the one doing the seducing. But it's trying to deceive someone. So the world tries to seduce us away from God. Does a pretty good job. But in 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man loved the world, the love of God, of the Father, is not him. So you can't say, I love God and I love the world. You can be in the world without loving the world. Yes, we have to function day to day and do our daily activities. Yes, we need money. We need a job. We need a car. We need this. We need that. Well, you can catch the bus, the Blue Line, so you don't need it. But you need things. Amen? But those things aren't above God. You don't sell out God for those things. But look at verse 16. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father. It is of the world. Make sure you underline that. When the enemy comes, he's going to try and seduce you or deceive you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's take a quick look and see how it happens. Let's go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. And Miss Natalie, I'm going to be all over the place this morning, so going to have to keep up with Pastor this morning. Look at Genesis 3. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Write down three things if you're taking notes, and you always should take notes. Number one, you should take notes because you can go home and then kind of research for yourself to see if the pastor is speaking truth or not, or if it's in context, in the proper context. Then you always should take notes so you can refer back to it. But if you're taking notes, make sure you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Did I say Genesis 3:6?
Yes.
Genesis 3:6, we're there?
Yes.
Okay. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it's good for food, the lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasing to the eyes. Wow. The lust of the eyes. And the tree desired to make one wise. The pride of life. That's how the enemy comes. He comes to attack your, make you think that you need something that you already have. Go back up. Here's what it, look at the conversation. You can always tell when it's the enemy because it's questioning God. Verse 3:3-1. Now the serpent was more subtle, more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, has God said? He always starts with the question. He'll tell our young ladies, did God say that you really, didn't God say he would forgive you? So you can go ahead and do, so you're that holy now. Tell the young men, who do you think you are? What are you? Something's wrong with you. So it starts with a question. Will God forgive you? Well, your parents won't find out. It'll be okay. Has God said? It always starts with a question. You can tell where the seduction, deception starts because it starts with a question. And it's questioning God. We talked about this on the couples retreat this weekend. Here we have the first recorded lie in the Bible. First recorded lie in the Bible. Told to a married couple by the enemy. When Adam was alone, Satan didn't bother him at all. As soon as he got a wife, here he comes on the scene. Couples, you got to understand that you are a target. When you're trying to live right for God, the enemy is always going to come. He's going to try and question. He's going to try and tempt you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You're going to be something. That's what he told him. Look at verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, yea, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. That's not quite what God said, but when you start dialoguing with a snake, you're in trouble already. When you dialogue with the snakes at your school, the snakes on your job, the snakes in your neighborhood, you're in trouble already. Because he's seducing you, he's deceiving you. And the serpent said unto her, you're not going to die. He basically said, God's lying to you. If God loved you, why would your life be such a mess? If God loved you, why did this happen in your life? God is lying to you. You can't trust God. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? This is how he comes. It says you can't love the world. All this in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's not of God. And the enemy's going to come to deceive you and turn you upside down to make you think God is the enemy, where in fact he's the one that's the enemy and he's the one that's lying to you. So you put your name in here. And what is he? Right here was a piece of fruit that he was trying to offer them. What is he trying to offer you? Put your name in the situation. Think back on your week. What was he trying to offer you? A good time, money, fame, power. That you would be something. They say you would. He told them, look in verse 5. For God know that in the days you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. But in Genesis 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Satan told him, you'll be like God, but they were already like God because God had made them in his likeness already. So he's trying to offer you something that you already have. God said, you're a special treasure. I believe that's Deuteronomy 7:6. God says, you're a special treasure. So the enemy's trying to say, when you do this, you're going to be that. They're going to think you something. You're already something. Mm-hmm. Are you already something? You're not going to have, you don't have to be cool. You're way past cool. You're a special treasure. You don't have to try and fit in. You already stand out because you bling bling. God created you with bling bling. You don't need to be something. You're already something. But that's what if you sleep with me, you're going to be so popular. You're going to be, we go out, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. You're already that. You're way past that. You'll lower yourself. Young ladies, you'll lower yourself because you're already created up here. The only place you can go is down because God put you up here. So when the enemy tries to tempt you, the only place you can go is down. You lose your status. But the enemy don't want you to know that. He's always trying to tempt and test us. Well, God tests us. The enemy tempts us. He's always trying to seduce and deceive. That's why I say you can't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. So look, let's go here. Go to Luke 4. Luke 4. So my point with this message is trying to show that the world has nothing to offer us. Nothing. Matter of fact, we have life to offer to the world. So let's not get it twisted. They're not offering us life. We're offering them life through Jesus Christ. They need what we have. We don't need what they have. We can only go down by getting what they have. So don't feel bad because you're tempted. Because Satan was crazy enough to tempt Christ. And Jesus created him. He said, let me try with Jesus. And you know what his formula is? The same one. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He doesn't have to change it. Because we have to be careful because we see it. Oh, man. Oh, that does look. Gets you all the time. Oh, man. I bet that would feel good. Oh, man. If I got that, I'd be something. When I come, I pull up in that car. When I got my pockets on fat, ooh, I'm going to be something. When I get my house, I'm going to really be something. Give me a boat. Give me a boat, bro. I'm going to be something then. I'm going to really be something. People are going to have to take note. They're going to recognize who I am when I have my boat. When I pull up in my Bentley, I'm going to really be something. I made it then. It's always, and so I'll sell out to get stuff, and then you get it, and you drive around for a few days, you go, okay, now I need something else. And Satan's laughing because you done sold everything out. You done lowered yourself so far. God created you as a special treasure and the enemy seduced you to think that you were nothing, that you had to do something to be something that you already were. But don't feel bad. He did the same thing to Jesus. But I want you to take note. I love this. Did I say Luke 4? Luke 4:1. It starts off right. Jesus starts off right. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, being full of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, that's why we have that prayer on the back of the bulletin. You better get in the face of God every morning. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Lord, let me lead and guide and teach. But you have to be careful that you live a spirit-filled life. It's not just a one-time thing. We've seen it in church where people get, I guess they call it being, I don't know what they call it, getting filled with the Spirit. Bam, hit the floor, bust their head, and got to go to the doctor. So I don't think that's being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think that's a headache. It's not a one-time deal. It's something you live every day, Brother John. As you get up and you practice and you say, God, I need you to fill me with your, so I can think like you, I can act like you, I can respond like you, I can talk like you. Yeah. Lead, guide, and direct. So here's Jesus Christ being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's number one. So how do I navigate through life? I got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I have to live a spirit-filled life. And we know what we practice, we get better at. And remember, in John 14, it said, 14:26, I believe, said the Holy Spirit shall teach you all things. See, so you can be taught. That's how you live a spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit will teach you how. God teach you. That's why it's on the back of the bulletin every morning. I've been praying this every morning. I'm not just telling you how to do it. I'm doing it because I have to live a spirit-filled life. Because the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's real. It can't be off focus. Lord, help me embrace the fact that where I am is exactly where you want me to be. When I embrace this fact, I will experience the peace and contentment of God like never before. Holy Spirit, give me the insight to embrace my current situation and be content. Teach me your way in every situation in my life. Bring to my remembrance how I should live, speak, teach, act, behave, and respond. I know that honor, promotion, grace, glory, and life comes from you. I understand that outside of you, Jesus, I will lead a frustrated and a confused life. But in you, I have peace and contentment. In you, Jesus, I will overcome every situation and circumstance that I'm currently going through. I commit to embrace your instruction all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Every morning, practicing that, living that. Because as we'll see right here, you can know the word and not be filled with the Spirit. Watch and see. Let me show you. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit will lead you, the Holy Spirit will lead you into the wilderness. That's why you got to stay close to God. God, why am I in this situation? Why? I'm leading you there to teach you something. I'm leading you there so I can test you to see where you really are. Any good teacher will give a student a test. You never know where you are until you take that test. I thought I knew the material. I got to fail. I need to study harder. How do you know? Because I took the test. I didn't do so well. So God would lead you somewhere to test you so you can see where you are. He knows where you are. You need to see where you are. We're pretending and fronting like we got it all together. God said, let me lead you right here. First sign of trouble, you fall apart. You cussing and fighting and fussing. And now you drink it again and you sleeping around and you doing everything. I said, okay. Maybe one day you'll get it right, because you got to pass this test before you go to the next one. You got to get serious before you grow. You got to start practicing living right so you can get there. Because the test is going to be waiting for you. Somebody say amen. Because we had to pass those tests. That's why you got to take it over. And remember, the enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's hoping he can take you out while you're tripping. Excuse me, praise the Lord. He hopes to take you out while you're not where you're supposed to be. Amen. That's his whole job. All right, so here we go. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness is a place that you could be barren and broken and desperate and desolate and confused and empty and anxious and just totally lost. You're there. But the Spirit led you there so he could get your attention, being 40 days tested, tempted of the devil. And in those days, he didn't eat anything. And when they ended, he afterward was hungry. I would think so. After 40 days of fasting, you would be hungry. Even Jesus, the God man, As much as he was God, he had on his flesh, he was man. That's why we won't be able to tell him, Jesus, you don't know what it was like to go hungry. I had to steal something. He said, hold up. I fasted 40 days. You didn't. You don't know what it was like to be here and have on his face. Hold up. We will be without excuse when we stand before God. You don't know what it was like to see that brick house walking 36, 24, 30. You don't know what it was like, Jesus. Yeah, I did. I had to see him too. All right, Jesus, I saw him. I saw him when I was here. Matter of fact, I healed him. I told him to go and sin no more. I told him if they drink of this water, they'll never thirst again. I talked to a woman who had 5 husbands, and the one she was with, she wasn't even married to. I saw him. Don't tell me I don't know what it's like. I do. I was here. We'll be without excuse. Oh, and here comes the enemy. Remember, if he's crazy enough to tempt God, you know, you and I, we'll be sitting ducks. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Lust of the flesh. Come on and do your own thing. Man, you've been working hard, man. You've been faithful. Man, you play every Sunday. Man, go and have some fun. Loosen up, man. You're too tight. You're too uptight. You've been faithful for years. You deserve this. Go on and do it. Go on. He'll be all right. He's forgiven you before. You know he'll forgive you again. Go on and get down. You're just as uptight as this dude. Go on and relax. Loosen up. Brother Raymond, you've been working hard, man, ever since I've been here 2 years. Man, go on. Man, have a drink, man. Loosen up, dude. You're too tight. You're tighter than John. Two problems. Since when does Jesus listen to the devil? That's a problem right off. And he's always trying to tell you to do something to satisfy your flesh. And see, if it worked with Adam and Eve, he said, if I can get Jesus, but I'm going to try. Let me catch him at his weakest point. Somebody say amen. Keep yourself strong. Stay surrounded by good people because he's coming after you at your weakest point. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit because in our weakness, the Holy Spirit makes us strong. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your weakness, you're weaker. If you're not on guard, you're weaker. At your weakest point, you're weaker. Verse 4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus fought him off with the word. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew the word. And that's number 2. You got to know your word. You can't be filled with the Spirit alone. You got to know your word, too. And you can't be filled with the word alone. You got to have the Spirit, too. Look at verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in one moment of time. Lust of the eyes. He showed him all. And then what does he say? And the devil said unto him in verse 6, all this power I will give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou shalt worship me, all shall be thine. The lust. I'll give you all this. What is he telling Jesus? He's saying, you know what? You know you got to die on that cross. You know you got to suffer some things. You know you got to go through some stuff. But check this out. Let's take the shortcut. Young ladies, let's take the shortcut. You ain't got to wait till you married. Girl, get over here. Got to wait till you married? What you talking? You tripping. You got to wait till you married. That's old fashioned. That was back in the olden days. Let's take the shortcut. Young ladies, don't go for it. Ladies that are not so young, don't go for it. Young men with these aggressive girls out here, don't go for it. Keeping it 100, don't go for it. He's telling Jesus, take the shortcut. Man, this is all yours, man. You created all this. Matter of fact, I'll give it to you. Don't suffer. Don't go to the cross. You ain't got to die to get it. Just bow down and worship me, and you got it. Let's take the shortcut. I ain't got to listen to your parents anymore. Come roll with me. Let's take the shortcut. Your parents are old-fashioned, outdated, tired, ruining your life, cramping your style, messing up your swag. Our parents are so outdated. Roll with me. Come on. You got to shake loose of that church stuff. And that's when you tell them, look, it's not church stuff. I live a spirit-filled life. I know God's word. I'm not being seduced or deceived by you. So here we see the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes. He showed it to him. Now look at this. Verse 8, and Jesus answered and said, man, you need to get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve. So only worship God. I'm not going to worship you for stuff. I'm going to wait on God. Somebody make a note. I'm going to wait on God. Young men make a note. I'm going to wait on God. Young ladies make a note. I'm going to wait on God. Those of us that are not so young, make a note. I'm going to wait on God. If God has it for me, then I'll get it. If he doesn't, he has something better, and then it's not for me. But I'm going to wait on God. I'm not going to take the shortcut. Satan always wants us to take the shortcut. Take the shortcut in ministry. Take the shortcut in business. As an employee, as an employer. Take the shortcut in life. Verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down for him. And look, from here. And then verse 10, he says, for it is written. See, don't be impressed because somebody knows the word. Amen. Satan knows the word, but he's not filled with the Spirit of God. He's a deceiver. He was a liar from the beginning. That's all he does is lie. So you could know the word of God and be a liar. Just because you know the word of God doesn't mean you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be careful who you listen to. That's why you go back and you research and you talk to people who are filled with the Spirit and say, this doesn't sound right. Was this taken out of context? He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. So you can know the word and not be filled with the Spirit. That's why the Bible tells us we don't judge people, we judge their works. So I don't care what they say, they're quoting scripture, but look at what they're doing. Look at their fruit. You don't judge them, you judge their fruit and their works. So yes, we are... In the produce department, we're fruit inspectors. My brother years ago used to work in the produce department at Boys Market. Yeah, that's how old ago. Y'all don't even remember Boys. It became Ralph's. Used to be Boys Market. My brother was in the produce department. He'd inspect the fruit. That's what God tells us to do. Not just what they say, but look at the fruit. Because I had to tell on them every time. Ladies, when you're dating a guy, I don't really care what he says. Check out his fruit. And it takes time for that. Oh, yeah, I go to church. But are you a Christian? I go to church. I go to church. But are you filled with the Spirit of God? Do you live a spirit-filled life? Well, I go to church. You know, my church is this, my church is that. But do you live a spirit-filled life? Do you know the word of God? Well, I'll just watch you for a year. Well, you know, I just want to get with you. I don't really want to, you know, date and hang. I just, shucks. Oh, yeah, he's going to move on. Yes. Let him move on. Amen. He knew two scriptures anyway. God created the herb fruit, herb-yielding plant so I can have some herb every now and then. And then God forgives you. Dude, that's taken way out of context. That's all he knew. And he was impressed. Oh, he know the word. He know the word, Pastor. He know the word. He shared some word with me. You guys, stop. I'm trying to be serious. So here's Satan quoting the word. Verse 10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. He's telling Jesus, man, you so precious, man. You do your thing. Because you're the man. They're not going to let you dash your foot on the stone. The pride of life. He's trying to get him caught up in the pride. Well, you know what? Yeah, that's right. Watch this. I'll jump down. Yeah. They gonna catch me. Watch. Yeah, you're right. I am Jesus. Trying to get him caught up in the pride. It's the same thing. And you put your name and fill in the blank. What is he trying to tempt you and I with? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It is the same formula, family. We have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to know the word. Okay, so here we go. Let's see if we can finish this up. Verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou should not test the Lord thy God. And he's saying, so he's telling Jesus, jump off of here because you're the man and the angels are going to hold you up. Jesus is saying, God already told us don't live on the edge. God has told me not to get so close to the edge that I might fall over. He said, stay way off the edge. He said, you don't test God by putting yourself in situations where you could fall so God can show up at the last minute. So you don't go over the house and say, well, I'm just going to talk tonight. It's 1 a.m. You get a call. Well, I just need to talk to you at 1 a.m. OK, I'll be there because we're just going to talk. He's saying, don't live on the edge like that. Don't test God. You get there. God, I need you driving over. God, I need to be strong. I need to be strong. I need to be strong. God, I need to be strong. No. The strongest thing you could have done was check that caller ID and saw that was a loser at 1 a.m. and not only just screen it, but delete it. That's the strongest thing you can do. Because once you driving over, you die. Once you dialogue with the enemy, boy, he got you already. Once you pick up, he got you. So didn't God say, well, I just need to talk now. Well, you know, I'm kind of tired. But didn't God say, okay, you know, bury one another's burdens. You know what? Well, you're so holy, you can't even help me out. Now I really need you. That was your mistake picking up. You should have deleted that. Bam, bam, a long time ago. All right, so here we go. Jesus said, you shouldn't test God. Family, we can't test God by living raggedy, living on the edge and expecting God to come through for us. We don't live like that. Yeah. Let me see. Which side is it on? Family, we don't test God by living raggedy, living on the edge and expecting God to come through for us like that. Amen. But look what happened in verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him, oh my gosh, for a season. When you translate it into the Greek, he departed from him into another opportune time. He's waiting. Okay, you were strong tonight. I'm going to wait. I'm going to catch you slipping tomorrow night. Watch and see. I'll be back. You got me. Okay. You live in Spirit-filled today. You got it. You got it. You've been praying that prayer. I know. You got it. You got it. I'll be back next week. I'll catch you at your weakest moment. I'll catch you slipping. I'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you. You know he doesn't give up. Hey, look, don't call here no more. You know, we're kind of done. I'm kind of moving on with my life. I'm in a different space right now. I'm really, you know, living a Spirit-filled life. And, you know, I'm just on a whole nother page. It's a new year. It's 2014. I got to get into 2015. I'm not playing 2010 games in 2014 anymore, okay? Or 2015. Okay, all right, cool. I'm sorry. I got you. Boom. But then next week, he calling you again, Kathy. He said, you know what? I was just thinking about you. I really miss you. And we had some good times. And I was just, he's at an opportune time. He's waiting. He's going to call next week or next month or when you really done moved on, he's just going to show up at the door at your job with some flowers. You know, I know it's been 6 months, but I just can't shake you. I just can't, and I just wanted to let you know, all right, don't be offended. Okay, I'm out. You know I love you. We had some good times. He's waiting to the opportune time. Let's finish with this today. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Underline that. See, because he didn't fall, he didn't yield to the temptation, and he's filled, he returned in the power of the Spirit. He started in the Spirit. He finished in the Spirit. Family, that's how we have to live through this Holy Spirit. It has to teach, guide, lead, direct. God, give me insight. You can see it coming. If you ask God, he will show it to you when it's coming a mile away. If you want to see it, he won't just give you information. He'll give you revelation. He'll give you discernment. You will see it when it's coming. You go, got it. And you will start in the Spirit and you'll return in the Spirit. That has to be the place that we are. What does that mean for us? It means that's the place we all want to be. That even after temptation, we're still living in the power of the Spirit. But look what happened. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame about him through all the region about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Because he was obedient, because he lived right, he became famous. Young people, you want to be famous, you want to be known, live right. And then all your haters will talk about you. Look at him. He's too good. Yeah, make me famous because I'm living right. Young folks, that should be your desire, to be made famous for living right, to be known. Said Jesus, because of his obedience, his fame went out. He didn't sell himself out to be famous. He stood strong in God and was well known the right way. You don't have to sell yourself out to be famous. You don't have to sell yourself out to be well known. But you do have to live a Spirit-filled life to navigate through the daily temptations that we deal with. I'm just halfway through, but this is where we'll start next week. Amen. Let us pray. God, continue to teach us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, so much you want to share with our hearts and minds. Lord, let us anticipate what your word says. Let us study the notes that we've taken. Let us go back and study the scriptures that we read so we can make sure that those things are so. Lord, thank you for your word. It teaches us how to navigate through the landmines of life, that we don't have to just keep getting blown up time after time. That we can see it when it's coming. Oh, that's the lust of the flesh. That's the lust of the eyes. That's the pride of life. It's trying to make me to think I'm something. I'm already something. Thank you for your word as it teaches us to navigate. And then it shows us that if Jesus was tempted, then we can't be surprised when we're tempted. We have to go through the process. We can't take the shortcut. God, I'm praying that we don't get seduced by the enemy any longer. Let us stand strong in the Spirit. Let us live in the Spirit. Let us always return in the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. Let us be mindful of those who might know the word, but don't have the Spirit of God. Jesus, help us. Give our young folks discernment. Don't just let them get information. Give them revelation, Lord. Don't just let them learn at school, Lord. Give them wisdom to see what's happening at their school. Let them look past the culture and look at the covenant they have with the true and living God, the special treasure that they are, the special treasure that we are. So I'm praying right now, Lord, someone might be here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you hear, you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ, but today I want to accept Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I want to be sure this morning. I want to be saved. Or maybe you hear, you saying, Pastor, I just want to rededicate my life. I want to rededicate my life in November. I'm not going to wait till January. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home, somewhere where the Spirit of God is, the love of God, the people of God. No games, no tricks, no gimmicks. It's just God's word, and we're trying our best to live for God. Love each other, love God, and live right. So we strive to do here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. If you're looking for a church home and you think South Bay Abundant Life is a place for you, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. God, you're great and greatly to be praised. What a great day. I'm going to ask my sister Christina, to come on up. She comes up for membership. Thank God for my sister Christina. We thank God that you're here, Sister Christina. I'm going to ask my ladies, as always. We have some beautiful ladies here, elders of the church, mothers of the church, women of the church, youth of the church. Let's come up and let's surround our sister. Christina, just like you feel those arms around your shoulder, you know God has always loved you and hugged you just like that. He's always been there. Just like you feel those arms on your shoulders, that's us telling you that we have your back, that we'll be praying for you. We have the women that pray on Tuesday. Your name will be on that list every week. And we'll be praying that God will show you all the great and mighty things that he has for you and that you'll walk strong with him. Those hands on your back are a symbol that we will be here for you as a church. We'll cover your back. We'll lay hands on your back and pray for you. We won't stab you in the back. We'll comfort you in times of sorrow. We'll rejoice with you when you rejoice. We'll bear your burdens as Christ told us to bear one another's burdens. We'll pray for you. We'll be there for you. We'll instruct you. We'll challenge you. We'll comfort you. We'll surround you with God's love. No games, no tricks, no gimmicks. All we have is the Spirit of God, the love of God, the Word of God, as we are the people of God here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We thank you. We thank God for you and for your kids, for your family. We pray a special blessing on you and your kids and your family. And we pray that we would be good stewards over your life here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We thank you for joining us today. We bless God for your life and all the things he's going to do. We promise and commit to walk with you each and every step of the way. Never judging, holding hands, walking. Thank you for this life. Thank you for her family. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We love you. God bless you.
Stand to your feet. And then Christina. See Sister Kathy to get your information. Oh, South Bay Abundant Life members, remember all members, we're upstairs. We have a members meeting this morning, quick members meeting upstairs. We have a little continental breakfast or something. We might just have continental, I don't know, but it's something upstairs. Members, let's go up there immediately. Got some information for you. God bless.